Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
February 28th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, metering modes. Welcome back to another show. We have lots to talk about today, and I have we're going to do a technical show today. I know I've been kind of doing a little bit of interviewing photographers and talking a little bit about the philosophy of photography with the last show in terms of what's happening with RAW and post-processing. But today I want to get back to the camera and I want to look at some of the settings for your various meter modes and talk a little bit about how you can take more control with your camera's light meter so that you get the results that you want. And of course, the really cool thing about a digital camera is that I think it's so much easier to learn with a digital camera because, you know, you can try something that you hear on the show or read in a book or are just experimenting on your own and then look at the results right there in the field on the LCD and then make an adjustment. And it's so much better than the old days where I had to take notes all the time. I had to carry around a notepad. And then hopefully I matched up the right note with the right frame number on the film, send the film off, get the film back, spread out the slides on a light table, and then hope that the lab numbered my frames correctly, which sometimes they did and sometimes they didn't. And then try to match up those paper notes with what I saw on the light table. And the next thing you know, you're going, oh, I thought that I overexposed that shot. Why is it so dark? And then you get the sinking feeling like, oh my God, I just wasted, you know, all this time in a whole roll of film. And we don't have any of that now because we have the LCD monitor, we have the histogram, and we can, you know, learn right in the field so that we can become very good at exposing our shots. So that's what I'm going to delve into today. Today's the 28th, so there's a couple things going on right now. The first is, this is the last day to enter this month's, February's, photo assignment, which is FIR, which, just in the last few days, I've had some really, really cool shots come in. And it's interesting how this is panning out because you can tell, in fact, I can tell by some of the notes, people are going, you know, I kept scratching my head, and then boom, suddenly, you know, it came to me, you know, what I could do, and they would do the shot and turn it in. So, and I think probably even on the last day here, I have a feeling I'm going to get a couple pretty good shots. So, if you haven't done it yet and it's been kind of stewing there in the back of your mind, shoot it up and send it in. And then I'm going to put them all together and hopefully I'll have them posted a little bit later this week. Now for next month, for March, I've been thinking about this and I want to do, here's a photo assignment for March. Friends. And I don't know, I just got a really good feeling about this topic, and I think it leaves the door open for all sorts of interpretation. So it's going to be friends for March, all right? And we'll talk about that more later. Had a nice little batch of grub shots come in lately. Right on, great. And so keep those rolling in. Two other things. PMA, we're in the middle of PMA right now, the Photo Marketing Association show. So it's in Orlando, and actually that's where I am. I'm in Orlando right now. So I hope you're checking in on the actual website itself, the Digital Story site, for updates on what's going on at that show. And obviously, I don't try to cover everything, but I do try to cover the stuff that I think might be of interest to you. So if you haven't been rambling around there looking at what's going on, stop by and hopefully you'll see some of the new goodies. It started with a Canon announcing the 30D, and there's been all sorts of great stuff since. So check it out. And then the other thing, probably by the time you listen to this, it will have been Apple will have done its big announcement, and they were doing the thing at the town hall there in Cupertino. I don't know what it is because this show's a little bit earlier than the announcement, so maybe there'll be something there I can talk about next week. All right, so much for today's housekeeping. Let's get to metering modes. Darn near every digital camera has more than one metering mode. Even the pockets these days give you a couple. So what I want to do is just sort of talk about each of these metering modes for a minute and how best to use them. Now, generally speaking, I run into the following meter modes over a variety of cameras. The first one and the most popular is what we call evaluative. Okay, and this is a really great metering mode. When this came into being back a number of years ago, originally on film cameras, it was one of my happy days. You know, dedicated flash was another one of my happy days. But evaluative metering is fabulous. And what it does, it's really cool. It divides up the frame that you look through, you know, when you're composing your picture, into components. And a lot of times what they do is, you know, the manufacturers have studied photographs and say, okay, generally speaking, you have bright sky up here, and you have, you know, kind of darker ground over here, and you have neutral toned subjects in the middle a lot of times, you know, yada, yada, yada. And they divided up the frame so that it reads all these different areas. And it can be anywhere from six segments to, you know, way over a dozen where they divide up the frame. And then what they do is they write these little programs so that when the meter reads all these different light patterns, you know, with a bright, let's say a bright sky and dark, then it goes, ah, they must be shooting outside, you know, kind of a bright day with a bright sky. And so we set the exposure this way. And on and on and on. And there's all sorts of different, these little logarithms built into the camera so that it evaluates the lighting, and then it gives you a aperture shutter speed combination that, you know, according to their research, best suits what the meter is bringing in. And it's really cool, and it works most of the time. It's terrific. But it's not perfect. Okay, so there are other metering modes for those times when you're not getting the results you want with evaluative. And the next one that I see a lot is something called partial metering mode. You see this a lot on Canon cameras, but on other cameras too. And what they've done is they've taken a circle in the center of your frame and about 9%, generally speaking, and the meter only reads the light within that circle. Okay. Now, a lot of times this circle seems to be about the size of a dime. It's pretty big, right? So if you're trying to meter on, let's say, someone's head at a distance of, oh, I don't know, let's say 5-6 feet away at kind of a normal sort of focal length, you're going to get some light from outside of the head influencing the metering pattern. And that's why I think sometimes partial can be sort of frustrating, because you sort of think of it as a spot meter, which it isn't, and spot meter is going to be the next thing that I talk about, and it's really not. It's kind of gathering a bigger area. And generally speaking, you run into partial metering on cameras that aren't the pro-level cameras, okay? Or at least that's as fine as it gets on the non-pro-level cameras. A pro-level camera might have partial metering, but a lot of times they'll give you a spot meter too. But nonetheless, partial metering is still very handy for when you want to just sort of isolate an area that's within that circle and just read on it. So, for instance, if you had a subject that, you know, was against a really dark background or a really bright background, it can fool the other metering patterns. But with partial, what you can do is you can put that circle right on the area that you want exposed, that area that's most important to you, and then lock in the exposure. And I'll talk about that in a second. Lock in the exposure, and then the camera will probably render a shot that, you know, you were hoping for and not be fooled by the really bright or the really dark background. Now, spot metering takes that to another level, and I love spot metering. As I said, sometimes I get frustrated with partial because it gets polluted by the outside elements, but spot metering, a true spot meter, can be anywhere from 1 to, I guess you could go up to 5%, although I really like 1 to 3% of the frame. So it is a much smaller circle in the center of your viewfinder that's being influenced by light. And this thing, for instance, if you do want to spot meter on someone's face, it generally speaking, it won't be influenced by the light that's around the person at all, or whatever your object is. And spot meters are great. And in fact, you know, one of the big things I think about the new Canon 30D, they didn't change the sensor, and I don't blame them because it's really a great sensor, and it stayed at 8.2 megapixels. They did make some other improvements, but the one thing that they added was instead of just having a partial metering mode like you have in the 20D and the 10D, the 30D also has a true spot meter, and I believe it's 3%. But I'm not sure. It might be 5%. I don't have it right in front of me. But it's either 3 or 5%. A much smaller circle than that 9% partial metering mode. And boy, this is, that along with the 2.5-inch LCD on the back, that right there, those are two major improvements. So spot metering, very nice, but you generally won't get it unless you're using a more advanced camera. When you look at your metering options on your camera, and I'll explain the little icons in a second. A lot of times for spot meter and or partial metering, it will be, you know, the rectangle, which represents your viewfinder, and then it will have a dot in the middle. If you have a compact camera, that dot in the middle is not a spot meter, or it would be very unusual if it were. It's a partial meter. So what you have to do is you have to look up in your specs, in your camera manual or online, as to when you're in that mode with the dot in the middle, how much of the image or the viewfinder area is it actually reading? Chances are it's going to be around 9% and not that 3 to 5% that you probably want. Now, there's another metering mode, and this is most traditional of metering modes, called center weighted. And I'm surprised that it's still showing up as much as it is, but it is around. And this is the metering mode that for many years made me a bad photographer, because it was the only metering mode I had on many of my cameras. And it has a weird sort of pattern where it reads a lot of the frame, but it kind of, you know, it center weights its, you know, its sensitivity, so that it's reading primarily in the centerish area of the frame, like 20% or whatever that is. But it is also influenced by the whole frame. And this is the metering mode that used to really fool me with a backlighting, taking a picture of a person against a bright sky. Center weighted metering pattern will be really influenced by that background, and a lot of times I ended up with an underexposed subject as a result. So I grew to really hate center-weighted metering, and I haven't gotten over it yet. I still hate it, and I never use it, and very seldom will you hear me say never, especially in terms of me doing something. But basically, I never use center-weighted. I hate it. So I don't know if you'll have the same strong feelings about it that I do. I think for me, it just comes out of having years and years of bad exposures from this frickin' metering pattern that just, I don't know what it was doing. I mean, it seemed to always read the brightest thing in the frame and ignore everything else. So I just stay away from it. So my primary metering mode is evaluative. That's where I keep the camera. That's my default setting. And then a lot of times I'll go to, depending on what camera I have, either partial or spot metering modes for specific situations. So what are some of those situations? Generally speaking, I think that you want to take a look at your partial or spot metering when you're in a lighting situation that has a lot of brights and a lot of darks, a lot of contrast, a lot of differing light zones. And because as good as the evaluative is, it has sometimes a hard time. I mean, it doesn't know what you want, really. I mean, it doesn't know what's in your head. It doesn't know what shot you want to come away with. It's just following the little programs that it has and saying, well, generally speaking, most people like this sort of lighting. They like the shot to turn out like this, and that's sort of how it exposes. But that may or may not fit your needs. So the times that I like to use spot or partial, the classic time is when I'm taking an existing light portrait. I'm taking a picture of somebody with a bright background, a dark background, really any background. And because what I care most about in that situation is the person's face. I want a good exposure on the skin tones. I want the eyes to be visible and not go too dark. This is what I care most about. And 9 times out of 10, that's when I'm switching to partial or spot metering mode, is because I'm putting that little dot in the center of my viewfinder right on the person's nose, and that's where I'm taking my meter reading. That is unless they have a sunburned nose or something, then you might want to take it off their cheek or whatever. But I want the skin tones. I don't want the background. I don't want anything else. That's what I want. And on a portrait, you know, most of the time, I just want to let the background go its own way, exposure-wise, okay? If it's a really bright background and it blows out, if I have a really good exposure on the face, I don't care, you know, because I want the viewer looking at that photo to be looking at the person's face and not, you know, elements in the background. Same thing if it's a really dark background. I don't want to hold those tones back there. I don't care about that most of the time on a portrait. So again, I want the meter reading the person's face and letting everything else go the way that it wants. Now, there are other situations, of course, when this comes in handy. Let's say you're photographing a car. And, you know, on a sunny day, a car is going to have all sorts of different tones and values. And there's a specific area that you want. Let's say that you're photographing the chrome in the front, but it's a very dark car. Maybe it's has a black lacquer paint job. And you don't really want the black influencing your exposure. You really want that chrome. And that's another time when I would go to spot or partial metering. Now, there's another layer to this that I need to talk about for a second. And that is, how exactly is the camera interpreting this light that you're bringing in or that you're measuring with your meter? The cameras have to be calibrated to something. And there has to be a standard for them to be calibrated to. Otherwise, you, as you moved from camera to camera, you would have to learn it all over again. So cameras are pretty good about calibrating their meters more or less the same. And basically, most cameras are calibrated for what we call 18% gray. In other words, when you're taking a meter reading off something, the camera is reading that light and creating an exposure for 18% gray. Now, why did they pick that? That happens to be about the exposure value of a deep blue sky, of foliage, of a lot of things that we have around us in the natural world is right around that tonal value, that 18% gray. So it's a pretty safe bet to have the camera, interpret what we're metering in that exposure value tonal range. Now, where you get into problems and where a lot of people get frustrated with spot metering and partial metering is that they think because they're metering specifically on an object that it will turn out exposed properly. Well, it will if it's more or less a middle tone value. It will turn out right, okay? But if you're metering, if you're doing a spot meter on something that's very black, very dark, what the camera's going to do is try to make that 18% gray, okay? So it's going to actually overexpose that black to turn it gray. And this is where people get frustrated because they go, well, I metered right on that thing, and why didn't it turn out right? Well, it did in terms of how the camera thinks. And, you know, I say this over and over again. You know, the whole trick to photography, especially exposure, is learning how to see the world the way your camera sees the world, not the way your eyes see the world. Your eyes are the starting point, but if you want to produce an image that matches what you see with your eyes, you have to also understand how the camera sees the world. And the camera sees the world basically as 18% gray when it's measuring light. So for instance, using the spot meter was the right choice on that dark object, especially if there were other tones around it. But then you have to know that the camera wants to turn that black to 18% gray. So what do you do? Anyone raise their hand? Okay. You underexpose that meter reading. So if you really want that dark area to be photographed as a dark area, then you underexpose it. You go to -1 or -1.5, sometimes even -2, but somewhere in there on your exposure compensation scale. Okay, so now you're really on to something, right? Because you're measuring a specific area that's important to you. You're understanding how the camera is seeing that area, and then you're calibrating the meter appropriately so that it records it the way that you want it. Let's go the other way. Let's say that you put your spot meter on something that's bright, and there's a lot of dark tones around it. You don't want those. You want something that's relatively bright. Okay. So now what the camera wants to do is turn that bright object to 18% gray. That's its job. That's how it's calibrated. Now, in order for that to turn out bright, let's say that it's a white daisy that you're spot metering. In order for that white daisy to really be white, what you have to do then is know that the camera is reading that light, know that the camera wants to turn it more or less a middle tone gray, and then compensate for that by what? By overexposing, by going +1, +1.5 on your exposure compensation scale to make that white daisy white and not gray. Okay, so if you're reading dark tones with a spot meter or a partial meter and you want them to remain dark, you underexpose. You go to -1, -1.5. And if you're reading really bright tones with your spot meter and you want them to be bright, you overexpose them. +1, +1.5, somewhere in there. Okay. Now, if you're using your spot meter for a portrait, as I was talking about earlier, most of the time it's going to expose skin tones pretty well. Not that our skin tones are generally 18% gray, but they're usually kind of in the ballpark there. So if you have someone that's very fair-skinned, Okay, you might want to overexpose maybe a half a stop. And by the same token, if you have someone that has dark skin, Hispanic or black, then you might want to underexpose a half a stop or a stop to make sure that that dark skin is dark and rich and beautiful as it looks in real life. So, but I think for the most part, what I've discovered is that I don't have to compensate as much for skin tones as I do for other elements out in life. So a lot of times, if I'm doing a portrait with a spot metering, then I'm probably maybe overexposing a half a stop or underexposing a half a stop, maybe a stop if the person's skin is very dark. Okay, so it's not quite as much, but it's still something to keep in mind. Because again, the better job that you do up front with your exposure, with your metering, with your composition, all those sort of things, the less work that you have to do later. Okay, and it's a lot easier to just kind of get the knack of it while you're shooting pictures than to have to fiddle around in Photoshop for hours to get it the way that you want. Now, I've mentioned the exposure compensation scale a couple times, and it really is your friend, okay? And you need to find where it is on your camera. And a lot of times, because it's something that you really should be using a fair amount, especially in combination with a spot or partial meter, most of the time camera manufacturers make it fairly accessible. And just practice a little bit using it. Go out, put your camera in spot or partial metering mode, find something dark, take a picture of it without compensation, and then take a picture of it with your best guess for compensation. Do the same thing with something that's bright. Take a picture of it without compensation, and then take a picture of it overexposing whatever your best guess is. And then come back and look at them on your computer and determine, okay, with my camera, maybe I need to overexpose those bright areas a full stop instead of a half a stop. You know, and you begin to kind of get a feel for this. The other great thing that I just love about digital cameras is that you don't have to take notes on any of this stuff. If you're using iPhoto or Photoshop or whatever you're using, that metadata, in other words, all the settings that you used for your camera, are in there in the picture. So you can look at the metadata. In iPhoto, you just do a Command-I when you click on the picture, and it gives you this nice little panel. Go to Exposure. There's an Exposure tab. And it'll tell you that if you did +1, +1.5, -1, -1.5. So then you can look at the metadata, look at your picture, and go, ah, okay, that's the way it works. And then next time you're out there, you know, you just go, well, I remembered when I shot this type of skin, I had to underexpose a half a stop. You know, let's say you had a very nice Hispanic model. I had to underexpose a half a stop to really get what I thought was the best exposure. So then you can just shoot it that way. You don't really have to even review it in the LCD. You know, you'll get to a point where you just know that you're right there or darn close. And remember earlier when I talked about the histogram, you know, that's another way to review how well you're doing. If you're shooting something that's supposed to be dark, that histogram should be kind of scooched over there to the left a little bit. And if you're shooting something that's really bright, it should be scooched to the right. You know, that mountain shape that it makes. And if it's just sort of a normal, nice blue sky, green grass sort of day, the tone should be pretty much evenly distributed across the whole scale of the histogram. All right. So I know this is a very sort of a basic introduction into using these metering modes and understanding what's happening with them. But you'd be surprised. Just these few things I've talked about, with a little bit of practice, will change your whole approach to exposure. And suddenly, you know, you're going to start getting exposures one right after another that look really good. And you're going, wow, you know, I had 50 shots on this card. I uploaded them and they look good. They look really good. And that's a great feeling. That's a great feeling. I like that feeling much more than when I upload 50 shots and they're sort of all over the map. You know, some really dark, some blown out, you know, some are okay. I mean, it doesn't bum me out, but I do feel a little bit better when I know that I've nailed a large percentage of my exposures. So again, something to look at, evaluative metering is great for most of the time. And by the way, you can use your exposure compensation scale with it, although it's usually not quite as necessary. But I do sometimes use it. But generally speaking, if you really want to nail the exposure on a particular item, a particular element in your composition, go to partial metering or spot metering. Decide if that element is, you know, on the dark side, on the bright side, or more in the neutral tones. Use your exposure compensation scale to make some adjustments, and then take a look at it when you get back to your computer. I think you're really, a lot of times, this is the thing where a lot of people's exposure light goes on and they go, ah, I finally understand how to see the world the way the camera does. I hope that happens for you. So go out, take some shots, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.